Yeah, joining us on the line this morning, Sydney Morning Herald chief sports writer Andrew Webster, who was down here in Melbourne earlier in the week, but he went home. He brushed us. He's back up there in Sydney. Good morning, Webby.
It was a hit and run mission, boys. No, I did come down earlier in the week to interview Preston Campbell for a piece in today's Herald. So yeah, I love supporting the All Stars. I think it's a fantastic concept and been into it. People weren't trying to kill it off, but it's good to see it still going.
Yeah, no, it is. You caught up with Preston Campbell. What did he have to say? And I know that you're a supporter of this game, but without Preston, this game wouldn't be here and it wouldn't be where it is.
No, 100%, Loz. You know, the thing with Preston is, you know, the way that he has really kicked off. Sorry, someone keeps calling me over and over, and I keep declining it, and they keep calling. So it's throwing me off.
Make sure it's not your boss.
No. Yeah, look, can you hear that? It's still ringing. Go away. In 2001, you know, when he was at the Sharks, won the Dally M, and the next season was, you know, shunted to the bench, then pushed to hooker by Chris Anderson, who was the coach of the Sharks at the time. And he said this in the piece in the Herald today, how that took him from being an individualistic player to someone who cared more about the game. You know, he said being on the field was, there's more to football and more to being a footballer than just what happens, you know, in those 80 minutes. And ever since then, he's looked at, you know, he's felt a responsibility for making the game, you know, all things to all people. And that sort of manifested itself in what he did with the All-Stars in 2009. And while there's been all these reasons to try and kill the game from certain elements like the clubs who don't think their star players should be there, you know, he's seen, and Loz, you've seen it from better than anyone, just how important that week is. So I'm glad that it's back. And I think the way that it's been reborn with the Maoris this year, you know, it's important. The game, given what we've seen in the last few months, can't afford to let a feel-good story and a feel-good concept like this die.
Yeah, no, you're right there, Webby, and I have seen it firsthand for the last couple of years what these players are able to do when they take their responsibility seriously. And, you know, the players really enjoy coming back and learning a lot more about their culture and realising that they can be leaders in their own communities and trying to sort of encourage young Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander boys and girls that there's a pathway for them. You know, they can change the stigma of their people, and if they're willing to work hard and sacrifice and follow their dreams, anything's possible. And they get reminded of that, and they tell their stories. And, you know, when you listen to some of our guys' stories, you sit there and realise that they've done remarkably well.
Absolutely.
I also think, Loz, that when it's, you know, a lot, the critics of the game will say that it's, you know, it's the gravitas of the game isn't as strong as it should be in other, you know, when it comes to club football and stuff like that. Now, I have some fond memories of All-Stars, including you, when the NRL gave us great access. So I remember about two or three years into the concept, they let me be a fly on the wall behind you when you were coaching the Indigenous team at Suncorp, I think the game was. I remember being there for the...
Yeah.
For the warm up and being there when you had your, when you spoke to them before the match and half time and sat in the box, and I got a new insight into the great, you know, the lovely Laurie Daly, you know, the nicest bloke in the game. And I remember your pre match speech that day, and I was like, ooh, I don't want to cross Laurie ever again.
Yeah, why do you think I tread so carefully around him as well? It is a wonderful concept. We're going to chat with. We'll get a chat with Preston Campbell, Justin Hodges, and we enjoyed our chats yesterday immensely with Josh Adokar, and Cody Walker gave us a terrific insight into how easily things could have gone a different direction for him.
It was a great conversation,
well.
Wasn't it?
It was.
Cody,
I can see why you named him captain, Loz. I know that. Unfortunately, we've got to bring this up, mate, the Jack DeBellin case. Our listeners and viewers are very much split regarding, you know, Jack DeBellin. Should he be playing for the Dragons? Should the Dragons stand him down? Should the National Rugby League stand him down? It is a terrible look for the game, but he's got that presumption of innocence.
100%. I've heard you guys talking about it this morning. I have to say I'm really torn on it as well. And I think this week, canvassing the ideas and the thoughts privately of coaches, respected coaches, CEOs, chairmen, I've spoken to the legal experts. I've spoken to the human resources experts about, you know, how this would play in corporate world, and there'd be no doubt that he would be stood down in any other organisation. But it's, you know, rugby league's a different beast. I'm surprised at how many coaches, and I heard you talk about it before, Terry. It's easy for other coaches and chairmen and CEOs of other clubs to say that he shouldn't be playing, and I wonder if it would be that way if it was their own player. But I haven't, coaches, old school coaches who I thought, you know, he should play until the court case plays out, are very firmly in the belief that off-field behaviour of players has become such an issue for the game that he shouldn't be playing. As I said, the problem for the NRL is that is the precedent that they've set, first with Brett Stewart and also Sean Kenny-Dow, who was on some horrific domestic violence charges a few years ago. And there was calls even from Mike Baird, who was the Premier of the state, for him not to play while the court case was playing out. The case ended up being laughed out of court by the judge, and Sean Kenny-Dow, you know, continued on as he should. So it's a really, really tricky one for all concerned. I have to say, I'm not one for sitting on the fence, as you know. I actually don't have I don't know what to think. I don't know what to think because, you know, the details of that case that came out this week were so horrific. But, you know, I also believe in natural justice, and that hasn't run its course yet.
Yeah, exactly. And and add to that too, like if this was going to be decided in 6 weeks' time, it's a no-brainer for me. You know, well, Jack, you're on the sidelines, blah 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 blah. The fact that it could go for a year before things can happen too, so it makes
perhaps they may have to consider when it does go to court and details are released, then he is stood down.
Oh, of course.
For however long that trial goes for, and the result.
I tell you what, there's some. I don't think there's a day go by. That's probably an exaggeration. Where there's not some sort of drama coming out of the Cronulla Sharks camp, but it's about to get serious, isn't it, for the Cronulla Sharks regarding the salary cap investigation and also the effect it could have on their superstar signing, in Sean Johnson.
Absolutely, Terry. So Todd Greenberg and Nick Week spoke to the Sharks board and players yesterday about the salary cap investigation. That mightn't be wound up for another couple of weeks. There's some talk that it might be handed down next week, although I'm being told it might be a little bit longer than that. They'd probably like to know their fate sooner than later, because if they do have to become cap compliant, the one who gets squeezed out at the end is Sean Johnson, who they signed obviously from the Warriors in the off-season when Val Holmes decided to go to the NFL. There's not many clubs that have the cap space left to sign a player like Sean Johnson if he was to go into the open market, maybe Parramatta. But, you know, Cronulla would like to know whether they're going to have their superstar halfback for round one, you would think, sooner than later. So, yeah, it's a really, really tricky one. There's been plenty of mail getting around about other clubs being in the gun of the integrity unit in terms of salary cap breaches, and that's sort of been knocked on the head by head office. But, yeah, Cronulla still, and it's always going to be the case, they still have a lot of you know, a lot of heartache to go through first. And I keep hearing that Barry Russell is going to be squeezed out at some stage soon because he, for heaven forbid, telling the truth and self-reporting midway through the year. So, it's going to be a tricky time for the Sharks in the next few weeks.
Webby, can you just confirm this for me? Is Sean Johnson the player that has to make room for the salary cap, or can the Sharks try and offload, say, if it's $600,000 that they're over, can they offload $200,000-$300,000 players and keep Sean Johnson?
No, apparently because he was the last player signed, he'd be ruled ineligible to play. Unless
yeah, right. So it's the last player
coming season, yeah, because he was the last player. So it's a pretty tricky situation for them. But the thing is, they don't know how deep the sanction could possibly be. So also, just while I remember, you know, there's all this talk about Alex Johnston going to the Cowboys with Ben Barber being sacked there a few weeks ago. South still haven't received any request for a release to sign Alex Johnston whatsoever. I think you'll find the Cowboys will just assist with whoever they can in their squad and anticipate Val Holmes to come there on a massive deal next year? Should his NFL dream not come up?
Yeah, exactly. Parramatta or a club have got room under that salary cap, and they'd sweep pretty quickly, I would imagine, on a bloke like Sean Johnson. And just a quick one, mate. Alan Stajic, geez, this drama, it's not going to go away anytime soon.
No.
Independent investigations are needed. They're being called for, and let's hope they happen.
Well, it's funny. On day two of this story, boys, I was told by someone very high up at the FFA and familiar with the situation, they said, just watch. This is all part of a plan to get rid of David Gallop as CEO. And, you know, he's firmly in the sights of plenty of people with the way this has been handled. To his credit, he never, ever has, you know, put the onus of it back on the board. But the way that it's been handled is just appalling. You know? And the one that seems to be copying in the neck from Root is poor old David Gallop, who has hardly been a friend of a lot of people in Australian football for a while. So, yeah, it's getting pretty ugly for Gallup. He's on $1.4 million, so I don't think he's going to walk anytime soon.
Wow. No, I don't think anyone's going to walk away from that type of money. Is he on a contract, and how long's he got to go?
I'm not entirely sure how long the deal is. I think he just got re-signed last year from memory, but it's a hefty one. And I think, and, you know, knowing David, he wouldn't want to walk at this time. He'd want to protect his reputation. There's been plenty of people who think he should be on the ARL commission, and I know he's got his detractors out there, but someone with his knowledge on that commission wouldn't go astray, to be honest.
No, it's not a bad recommendation. Webby, thank you so much for that. Andrew Webster from the Sydney Morning Herald.